Welcome to Base by a Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So I want you to imagine for a second that you're sitting down to read a truly fascinating book.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
But there is a major twist to this particular copy. Some of the words in it are printed in a special kind of invisible ink. And whenever your eyes hit those specific words, you physically cannot help but slow down your reading speed.
Like a forced speed bump.
Exactly. You stumble over the syllables. Mm-hmm. And here is the kicker, right? If you slow down too much, if you linger on those invisible words for even a fraction of a second too long, the book spontaneously combusts right in your hands.
Wow. I mean, that sounds like the premise for some kind of psychological thriller.
Right.
But we are actually talking about one of the most, you know, fundamental survival mechanisms inside your own body.
Yeah.
We are talking about how cells regulate their genetic instructions, and specifically how they put a strict, highly coordinated expiration date on certain messages.
And that is exactly what we are unpacking in today's deep dive. We are looking at a system that is just, it's mind-blowing.
It really is.
But before we get into the weeds, today we celebrate the work of Linder, Sharma, and their massive team of colleagues who have just completely advanced our understanding of pan-epitranscriptomic regulation. They published this incredible study in Cell in 2025.
Yeah, the team at their respective institutions really pulled off a monumental effort here to really grasp the biological mystery these researchers were trying to solve. We have to look at the cell's underlying problem.
Okay, set the stage for us.
So your cells are constantly transcribing DNA into messenger RNA, or mRNA. These mRNAs are basically the temporary blueprints sent out to the cellular factories to build proteins.
Right, the ribosomes.
Exactly, the ribosomes. But a cell cannot just leave those blueprints floating around forever. I mean, if a cell receives a signal to divide, it sends out the divide blueprints. But once it has divided, it needs to destroy those instructions immediately.
Because if it doesn't?
If it doesn't, it becomes a tumor. It just keeps dividing.
Wow. Okay, so timing is literally everything. And for a long time, the field knew about a specific chemical tag called M6A, right?
Yes. It is a tiny metal group that gets added to the adenosine nucleotide in the mRNA.
Right, and historically, biologists kind of looked at M6A as a simple destroy me signal. Like, if an mRNA had an M6A tag on it, it was destined for the shredder.
That was the prevailing view, yeah. But the researchers in this study recognized that this idea was, well, entirely too simplistic.
So what did they do?
They utilized these highly sensitive, high-resolution mapping technologies, specifically techniques called MicLib and Jewel-RI.
What exactly are those? They sound like, I don't know, hair salon products.
Right. No, they're essentially molecular scanners that let researchers look at the exact location of every single M6A tag across the entire transcriptome. They looked at human cells and mouse stem cells.
And what did that spatial distribution reveal?
It revealed something baffling. The location of the tag completely flips its function.
All right. This is where the mystery really gets going for me. Because an mRNA strand isn't just one long string of coding instructions, is it?
No, not at all. It has distinct architectural regions. You have the coding sequence, the CDS, which is the actual text being read to build the protein.
The meat of the book.
Right. And then after the stop sign, there's a tail end section called the 3-foot UTR, or the untranslated region.
Okay.
The researchers found that when the M6A tag is placed in the untranslated tail, it actually stabilizes the mRNA. It helps the message stick around longer.
Wait, really? But it's the exact same tag.
Exactly. But when that exact same chemical tag is located inside the coding sequence, the CDS, the mRNA, decays incredibly fast.
I'm gonna have to challenge the logic here for a second, because that sounds completely counterintuitive. I mean, it is just a tiny methyl group.
Yeah.
How can the cell possibly know if that methyl group is sitting in the main text versus the back cover of the genetic book? Does the cell have some sort of specialized location scanner?
That is the exact question the researchers needed to answer to prove their hypothesis. They had to demonstrate that it wasn't, you know, the inherent nature of the genes themselves, but the actual physical spatial placement of the tag.
So how do you even test that?
They engineered an elegant reporter construct.
Huh?
They used a fluorescent reporter called Meon Green.
Okay, so they can literally see it glow if it's working.
Right. They took a block of 12 M6A target sites and placed them right in the middle of the coding sequence of this reporter. And as expected, the cell destroyed that mRNA rapidly. The glow was very dim.
The self-destruct sequence triggered perfectly.
Then they took that exact same sequence and made a single minute change. They just moved the stop sign.
Wait, they just inserted a stop codon earlier in the sequence?
Yes. By inserting an early stop codon right before those 12 M6A sites, they effectively redefined the architecture of the mRNA.
Oh, wow. So the physical RNA sequence didn't change at all.
Barely at all. Just that one stop sign. But now, the cell interpreted those M6A sites as being in the untranslated tail end because they appeared after the new stop sign.
That is such an incredibly elegant way to trick the cell. So what happened to the mRNA once the stop sign was moved?
The rapid decay completely stopped. The mRNA became stable.
That is wild.
And to be absolutely sure the M6A tag was the sole factor doing the work, they used a small molecule inhibitor to chemically block MPTL3, which is the enzyme responsible for writing the tag.
Yeah.
The moment they stopped the tag from being applied, the rapidly decaying versions of the gene were instantly saved.
Okay, let me make sure I am visualizing this correctly. If the M6A tag only causes the destruction of the mRNA when it is physically located in the section being actively read, then the trigger for the destruction must be the reading machine itself.
You got it. The reading machine being the ribosome. The hypothesis shifted from the tag simply existing to the tag actively disrupting the ribosome.
Which honestly makes perfect sense. I mean, if you put a discard note on the back cover of a book, you might read the whole book before you actually toss it.
Exactly.
But if you paste that same note directly over the crucial text on page 10, you stumble, you get frustrated, and you throw the book away right then and there.
That is a perfect analogy.
So how did they prove the ribosome was the actual trigger?
They hit the cells with translation inhibitors, specifically chemicals like emetine and cyclohexamide. These drugs literally freeze the ribosomes in place so they cannot move forward.
They stop the reading process.
Right. And when the reading process was frozen, the fast-decaying M6A mRNAs were suddenly rescued from destruction.
Oh, so the act of moving across the tagged word is what actually triggers the decay.
Precisely. They saw this especially in critical pluripotency genes in mouse stem cells, genes like KLF4 and NANOG. If the ribosomes aren't moving, the mRNA doesn't decay.
I want to dig into the physics of that movement for a second. What actually happens when this massive molecular machine, the ribosome, hits this tiny little methyl group?
To see this, the researchers used a technique called ribosome profiling. It essentially takes a microscopic snapshot of where every ribosome in the cell is located on the mRNA.
And what did they see?
Massive pileups. When the ribosome's decoding center encounters an M6A modified word, it struggles to read it. The physical space inside the ribosome is incredibly tight, and adding a bulky methyl group to the mRNA changes the geometry just enough that the incoming puzzle pieces don't fit smoothly.
So the ribosome just pauses to try and force the piece into place.
It pauses. It de-optimizes the reading process.
Mm-hmm.
But the ribosomes behind it don't know it has paused. They just keep chugging along the mRNA strand.
Oh no. So they rear-end the stalled ribosome?
Yeah, absolutely rear-ended. It is a literal microscopic traffic jam, ribosomes crashing into each other.
And I am guessing a cellular traffic jam is not a good thing.
It is catastrophic. When two ribosomes crash, their physical structures become intertwined in a very specific, abnormal shape.
Like a crumpled car bumper.
Exactly like that. And this new distorted shape exposes chemical binding sites that are normally hidden. It acts as a blaring alarm bell.
Who answers the alarm?
A specialized destruction crew called a CCR4 knot complex. It recognizes that abnormal shape, binds to the pileup, and violently shreds the mRNA to clear the highway.
Okay, here is where I'm getting stuck. Because if this is true, it creates a massive biological paradox, doesn't it?
How so?
Well, earlier you mentioned that the system operates heavily in stem cells, right? What? Vital pluripotency genes in mouse stem cells, genes that are absolutely required for the cell to function.
Yes, KLF4, NANOG, and others.
Right. So if these crucial genes are covered in M6A tags, and every single tag causes a ribosome crash that destroys the mRNA, how does the cell ever successfully build the proteins it needs to survive? I mean, it seems like the cell is setting itself up for guaranteed failure.
The assumption there is that every single M6A tag causes a crash. And the beauty of this system is that biology is rarely that absolute.
Okay, so it's not a universal speed bump?
Not at all. The researchers found that the severity of the speed bump depends entirely on the inherent strength of the specific word or codon. being read.
What dictates the strength of a codon? We were talking about the three-letter genetic words, right?
Correct. And the strength comes down to the fundamental chemistry of hydrogen bonds. So the molecular trucks that deliver the amino acids to the ribosome are called transfer RNAs, or tRNAs.
Right, the delivery trucks.
The tRNA has an anticodon that has to physically pair up with the mRNA codon. They bind together using hydrogen bonds. Think of a codon like GGA, which codes for glycine.
Okay, GGA.
It is a strong codon because it forms three strong hydrogen bonds between the mRNA and the tRNA. It has a very tight, secure grip.
So it's locked in.
Exactly. If you put an M6A tag on a strong GGA codon, the ribosome plows right through it. The chemical group is so strong and the decoding process is so energetically favorable that the bulky methyl group doesn't slow it down enough to cause a crash.
The momentum is just too high. The speed bump is there, but the truck is heavy enough to basically ignore it.
Right. But then you have intermediate or weak codons like AGA or GAA. These rely on fewer, weaker hydrogen bonds. Their grip is inherently fragile.
So what happens when you add the bulky M6A tag to one of these weak codons?
The decoding process is completely de-optimized. The tRNA struggles to hold on, the ribosome slams on the brakes, and the collisions begin.
But that just brings me back to the paradox.
No, I know.
If these weak codons are highly sensitive and the mRNA is full of them, we still have a scenario where the essential stem cell genes should be destroyed before they can be read. There has to be a counterbalance, right? Something has to be rescuing these weak codons from causing a fatal pileup.
The counterbalance exists, and it is honestly the crux of the entire paper. The researchers discovered that the fate of the mRNA isn't just decided by the tag on the mRNA.
No.
No, it is decided by a physical interaction with a second tag, located on the tRNA.
Wait, the delivery truck has its own chemical modification.
It does. The researchers zeroed in on the third letter of the mRNA codon, which biologists call the wobble position.
The wobble position, right.
It is historically known for being a bit more flexible in how it pairs. And they found that the tRNAs assigned to read these jam-prone, weak M6A codons are heavily modified with their own complex chemical tag.
What is the tag called?
It's known as MCM5S2U.
Okay, let's avoid getting totally lost in the alphabet soup of that chemical name. Let's talk about what that modification physically does. If the mRNA tag is a gnarly speed bump, what is this tRNA tag doing?
Think about the physical challenge inside the ribosome. The M6A tag makes the mRNA rigid and bulky. It actively resists the tRNA.
Right.
Now, normally, a tRNA's reading loop is a bit floppy. Mm-hmm. It has to spend precious energy and time folding itself into the exact right shape to bind to the mRNA.
Okay, I follow.
If it has to do that while also fighting a bulky M6A speed bump, it takes way too long. The ribosome behind it crashes into it.
So it just runs out of time.
Exactly. But what this specific MCM5S2U tRNA modification does is chemically pre-organize the reading loop.
Pre-organize it.
Yes. It stiffens the tRNA into the exact perfect conformation needed to bind. It removes the need for the tRNA to spend time folding. So when it enters the ribosome, even if it hits that bulky M6A speed bump, it snaps into place instantly.
Oh, wow. So it is a literal shock absorber.
That is a great way to put it.
It compensates for the rigid bump on the mRNA by perfectly contouring its own shape, allowing the ribosome to glide right over the weak codon without losing a millisecond of speed.
That physical compensation is the core of the discovery. And to prove this interaction, the researchers had to see what happens when you remove the shock absorbers.
How did they do that?
They utilized CRISPR-Cas9 technology to knock out the specific genes, like ELP1 or CTU2, that install that complex modification onto the tRNA.
So they essentially sent the delivery trucks out onto the bumpy highway with zero suspension.
Yes. And if the paradox holds true, the essential genes should immediately crash and burn.
And did they?
The results were catastrophic for the mRNAs. Without the tRNA modification, the ribosome stalled severely at the M6A modified AGA codons. The decay rates of those specific mRNAs just skyrocketed.
Wow.
The researchers measured the exact half-life of newly synthesized RNA and saw that without the tRNA tag compensating for the mRNA tag, the speed bumps were simply too disruptive. The cell shredded its own vital instructions.
I want the listener to really appreciate the scale of what we're talking about here. The survival of a genetic message inside your cells right now doesn't come down to a simple on or off switch.
Not at all.
It comes down to two totally separate molecules, an mRNA strand and a tRNA truck, each carrying their own hidden chemical tags, meeting up inside a microscopic reading room.
Yeah.
And if the geometry of their tags doesn't perfectly offset each other, the entire genetic blueprint is destroyed.
It is a massive pan-epitranscriptomic interaction. The prefix pan implies that it spans across entirely different types of RNA. Biology evolved a dual-layer security system that requires physical cooperation between the messenger and the decoder.
Which naturally leads me to the biggest question. Why? I mean, evolution is notoriously lazy. It doesn't build absurdly complex, highly precarious tug-of-war systems unless there is a massive survival benefit.
Right.
Why not just use stable genes without all these dangerous speed bumps?
The answer lies in the specific types of genes that use this system. The researchers analyzed vast networks of functionally related genes known as regulons. They looked at your basic housekeeping genes, the ones responsible for keeping the lights on and managing everyday cellular metabolism.
I imagine those need to be pretty stable.
They are. They generally lack M6A entirely. The cell prints those books without the invisible ink because it wants them to be read continuously without any threat of combustion.
Makes sense.
But then the researchers looked at oncogenic signaling pathways. These are the powerful, highly potent genes that tell a cell to grow, to divide, and to change its identity.
The dangerous genes.
The incredibly dangerous genes. If a grow and divide signal lingers in the cell for even a little bit too long, the cell will replicate out of control. It will become cancer.
Oh, I see.
So biology designed these oncogenes to be inherently unstable. They are absolutely packed with M6A speed bumps. They are built to self-destruct rapidly.
So they have a built-in dead man switch.
Yes. The baseline state for these growth genes is rapid destruction. But of course, the cell still needs to grow sometimes. And that is where the tRNA shock absorber comes in.
Right. The rescue mission.
It acts as a licensor. The cell carefully controls the supply of the modified tRNA. It provides just enough shock absorbers to rescue the growth mRNAs, allowing them to be translated briefly and normally, but not so much that they stick around forever.
It is an exquisitely finely tuned dial controlling cellular growth.
Exactly.
Okay, I see where this is going into human health. If this system is a master dial for cellular growth and the cell is keeping it tightly regulated, what happens when a cell decides it wants to become a tumor?
It needs those growth signals to stay on permanently.
Right. It has to break the dead man's switch.
And they absolutely do. The researchers turned to massive human patient databases, specifically the TCGA and the Medibrick breast cancer cohorts, analyzing tissue samples from breast, lung, and colorectal cancers.
And what did they find?
They discovered that aggressive tumors actively and predictably hijack this exact balance.
How do they do it? Do they just remove the speed bumps?
They actually manipulate both sides of the equation. Tumors actively downregulate the enzymes that write the M6A tags onto the mRNA. They smooth out the genetic highway by removing the speed bumps.
Wow.
But simultaneously, they massively upregulate the enzymes like ELP1 that build the tRNA shock absorbers.
That is just insidious. They are stripping the destructive tags off their own growth genes while over-equipping all their cellular machinery to effortlessly speed read whatever speed bumps are left.
The shift completely pushes the balance toward pure, unchecked survival for the mRNA. The oncogenic growth pathways are permanently switched on.
And the clinical data backs this up.
Dramatically. The researchers demonstrated that if a patient's tumor shows a high ratio of the tRNA shock absorbers compared to the mRNA speed bumps, it is a powerful biomarker for poor survival. It correlates directly with how aggressive the tumor is and how poor the prognosis will be.
Wait, if we know exactly how the tumor is cheating the system, doesn't that open up a massive vulnerability?
It really does.
I mean, if the tumor is completely addicted to this excess supply of tRNA shock absorbers to keep its growth genes alive, what happens if we target the shock absorbers pharmacologically?
It creates a fascinating therapeutic window. Let's look at the chemistry of that potential treatment. If you design a drug that specifically inhibits the enzymes building the tRNA modification, you pull the rug out from under the tumor.
Because they rely on it so heavily.
Right. The tumor has engineered its entire survival around reading these heavily modified growth genes. Without the shock absorbers, you induce massive catastrophic ribosome collisions exclusively on the oncogenes.
The alarm bells ring, the destruction crews come in, and the tumor's growth blueprints are shredded.
Yes. And the crucial advantage here is collateral damage. Or really, the lack of it. Because normal, healthy housekeeping genes don't rely heavily on M6A speed bumps. They don't desperately need the tRNA shock absorbers.
Oh man, so a drug targeting this tRNA modification pathway would selectively crash the translation of cancer-driving genes while largely leaving the normal cellular functions unaffected.
That is the hope, yes.
That is the holy grail of oncology. Finding a way to destroy the cancer without nuking the healthy cells in the process. It is just mind-blowing that it all comes down to a microscopic traffic jam.
The depth of regulation we are uncovering is staggering. We are moving past the idea that the genetic code is a passive sequence of letters.
Exactly. If you are listening to this, the main takeaway is that your genetic code isn't just a static blueprint printed in a textbook. It is a dynamic, highly volatile, chemically modified highway.
Yeah.
The letters themselves don't just dictate what protein is made. The hidden chemical tags dictate the speed of the reading machine, and the speed of the reading literally dictates the survival of the message itself.
And, you know, the implications of this pan-epitranscriptomic interaction stretch far beyond just cancer biology, too. Think about the revolution we are currently seeing with therapeutic mRNAs.
You are talking about the mRNA vaccines, like the ones developed for COVID-19.
Yes.
Yeah.
The entire foundation of those vaccines relies on synthetic chemical modifications.
Mm.
We already add synthetic tags to therapeutic mRNAs to hide them from the body's immune system and make them stable enough to be read.
Right.
But this paper introduces an entirely new vector for engineering. We now know that the survival of an mRNA depends on the specific tRNA modification profile of the cell it is inside.
Oh, I see. Different tissues in your body, like your liver, your muscles, your brain, they might have totally different baseline levels of these tRNA shock absorbers.
They absolutely do, which raises a really provocative prompt for the future of pharmacology. What does this mean for smart drug design? Could we engineer an artificial mRNA carrying a specific pattern of speed bumps such that it only translates efficiently inside a liver cell, or specifically inside a tumor cell, based entirely on the unique tRNA profiles of those local environments?
So you could inject a systemic therapy, but it would only activate and produce the drug when it encounters the correct cellular traffic conditions. That is incredible.
It forces us to completely rethink how we approach genetic engineering. We aren't just writing the code anymore. We have to account for the physical typography of how that code is read.
And that typography is constantly shifting, base by base, adapting to the needs of the cell. It is a phenomenal piece of research, fundamentally changing how we view the life cycle of RNA. We have gone from a tiny methyl group to crashing ribosomes to the delicate balance that keeps tumors at bay. It is a perfect reminder that in biology, context is everything, and the most powerful controls are often entirely invisible to the naked eye.
Absolutely.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.
Neon on the bench, bright screens in the dark. Letters on a ribbon sparking a silent spark. A tiny mark inside the code can slow the run. And every pause can start what can't be undone. When the reed gets heavy, the rhythm breaks in two. One stumble turns to traffic piling into you. But there's a key that shifts the timing back in line. A small repair that buys a little time. The whole cell moves.